My name is Liana, for those I haven't met, those who are visiting. I'm very excited to share the word tonight. If you're visiting, and the message is quite intense, bear with us. I believe God is speaking to us specifically tonight. I've never had a message burnt on my heart like this one. I've never been so sure that this is what I must share. Because for the whole week, and especially today, I just really didn't want to share it. But I know God wants to speak to us, and I know more than that. I know God wants to deliver us, actually, as a church, tonight. And this is our, amen. Thanks for the excitement. This is the day of our visitation. And the Holy Spirit is here to move in our midst. And we are certainly going to give him space for that. So, I'm speaking tonight about deliverance, and I just realized that I'm not going to actually share my whole sermon, because I know that God wants to move and he wants to come and do something, and I would rather give time for that. So I'm just going to share a few things. I know there's some people who, all of us are wired differently, we're all gifted differently, and there's some of us who prefer to just get into the action, like Lindiwe, with a yay from here. And there's some of us who we want to be very sure what the Bible says. We want to know the scriptures, and that's also very important. So if you're one of those people, and then I want to apologize for not going to go through all the scriptures, but you can get the slides from SD. Okay, so if you do want to go just in the week and go through the whole sermon and check all the scriptures, please ask SD for the slides. I know that God wants to deliver us as a church and as individuals because he loves us. I know that it's really his heart for us to be in complete freedom, and that is amazing. And I read this story, I've read quite a few books about deliverance the last while. I've just really sensed God speaking about deliverance. And you know, Ecclesiastes said there's a time and a season for everything, and I really believe this is a season for deliverance. In Isaiah 58, God speaks and he speaks to Israel and he says, there was a time of your visitation. And I believe this is such a window for us. There's a time of visitation, specifically for deliverance. And God has already started with many of us, me included. And he is already moving in our midst, but he's going to continue that work tonight. And as I've been reading these books, I read the story and it says it's quite a few years back. A gentleman had to travel by boat, from one continent to another, and he was quite poor, but he saved up, he managed to buy the ticket, got on the boat, and the whole trip, the other passengers noticed that he never came to eat in the restaurant on the boat. And just before they got to the new continent, one of the fellow passengers said to him, why are you never in the restaurant? And he said, I'm quite poor, and I just managed to pay my boat ticket. So actually, I just brought crackers with on the trip because I can't actually afford the restaurant. And the passenger said to him, it's included in the ticket. And the author goes on to say that, isn't it sad that sometimes as Christians we could live like that? You know, Jesus died on the cross for everything, all our sickness and every demonic stronghold, everything Jesus died for. It was all included, and wouldn't it be sad if we get to heaven one day still carrying things with us? And Jesus says, no, that was included in the price. Okay, so I'm going to ask a few questions just to see what I should share. Who of you guys have done first year Bible school? Okay, who's done second year Bible school? Who's done third year Bible school? Okay. Who knows a bit about deliverance and demons? Okay, so I'm just going to go through a few of the basics. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 61, just the Old Testament, because we're going to see a specific progression in the scripture. Even from the Old Testament, Jesus was saying when he comes, when he dies on the cross, he's going to make provision for us. He says, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me first the gospel is preached, to bind up the brokenhearted. So there's a healing the healing of the heart, healing of wounds, hurts, abuse, etc. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Okay, so if you think about it, proclaiming liberty to a captive, it sounds to me like someone's in jail and you're saying to them, you have freedom. Okay, but they're still standing there. So you're just telling them there is freedom. And then it says, to open the prison to those who are bound. Because you proclaim the liberty, and then you actually open the door. Then that person can walk out. Then they're really free. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. Here the progression starts again, similar to the healing of the broken heart. Comforting those who mourn. Appoint to those who mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes. There's an exchange. Oil of joy for mourning. Mantle of praise for a spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So we see as we go through this progression, the end of it is that we become trees of righteousness, that we can be planted, the planted of the Lord, so that he may be glorified. As I said, we're not going to run through everything now, but the whole Old Testament speaks about, the whole New Testament, we see examples of demons and Jesus delivering people. You can look at the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, it says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When you look at Mark 3, it speaks about the apostles, the disciples, the 12. Jesus said he might send them out to proclaim and to have authority to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Okay, so those two things Jesus said the disciples must do in this. He said other things as well, but in this scripture. Heal the sick, cast out demons. Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8, he said, go and proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. You have received freely, freely give. Okay, so there Jesus speaking to all of us, saying this is what we should do. So tricky question, who has raised the dead? Who has tried to raise the dead? Okay, so Jesus must raise the dead. It cannot be up to us to do it or not. But this is for all believers. It says raise the dead. So I think we should at least all try. Okay, there's a word for you. And I'm not joking. And the next thing says cast out demons. Okay, so all of us should be able to cast out demons. We should be able to pray for people for healing, to pray for the dead to be raised, to pray for demons to be cast out. Freely you have received, we have all received the blood of Jesus, the cross. Now freely we must give. Ephesians 6, we know it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, strongholds, spiritual things, not earthly things. Now as I read through the some of the books about deliverance, it came up quite a few times that a time of deliverance precedes revival, and that God actually comes to do deliverance on his people and on his church to usher in revival, which God has been speaking to us about, which makes a lot of sense to me. It's like God comes and takes away everything that blocks us from him to enable us and our hearts to be in that place where we're 100% connected with him, and that is revival. Now that scripture that Rainer actually read before, and he hasn't seen my sermon. John 12, Jesus speaking about the cross and the context of the cross, and he says, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. In Acts, Jesus was going around and he healed everyone who was oppressed by the devil and by demons. Matthew 16, verse 8 says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so that's actually like a step further. Not only do we trust God to be delivered from the evil one, but actually we go to where he is, the gates of hell, and we cast him out. Speaking of, in our walk with people, as Christians, all of us are discipling people. We should be. This is the walk of Christ. You get saved, and then when you're one day saved, then you're one day ahead of someone else who is getting saved. So you can disciple. And as we grow with God, we all walk in discipleship. We should be continually encouraging others, raising them up. And in part of our walk of discipleship, we should be able to do deliverance as needed. Now, this is quite a strange thing to some of us, and I'll admit that until quite recently, for me, the thought was quite intense to do deliverance on someone. I have done it before on occasion when I really had to and really felt unsure about it and really felt that this I myself have had deliverance done on me, but I felt it was quite out of my league to do deliverance on someone else. But the truth is that the Bible says, Jesus says, it's just the normal thing that we should all be doing. We have victory over the cross. So I'm hoping tonight, and there's so much, and I'm hoping that God, I'm trusting, Lord, show me the right things to share tonight. Because I think sometimes we think about it the wrong way. We make it such a big thing. It's not really such a big thing. It is an amazing big thing in the power of the cross. But it's not such a huge accomplishment because Jesus accomplished it. It's very simple, really. It's in the same way that salvation is really a big deal, coming to Christ. But it's not a big accomplishment in the sense that Jesus did it. We just walk in it. Maybe I should tell you my story. So I've been a Christian for, I think, about 13 years, 12 years. And after I came to Christ, it was in a Shofar church in Stellenbosch. I did the Liberty course. And I want you guys, I really want to encourage you. It's going to be in February next year. As soon as you find out what that date is, book it. If you haven't done it, book it. You know, obviously you have to do the encounter 1, 2, and 3, Liberty's encounter 4, running up to it. But make it an absolute priority to get to that. I got saved. I did the Liberty. Definitely was a whole new experience for me. Spent the weekend in worship, and you're really trusting God for deliverance and learning how to approach it. Then the next year, I signed up to facilitate Liberty, and that's, I really want to encourage everyone. If you've done Liberty, you sign up to facilitate the very next one. This is the Christian walk. Freely if you received, freely give. This is growth. You have to, when you've received something, you have to give it. That's growth. You cannot grow if you haven't given it. When you come to salvation, you go and you find someone who wants to get saved, and you pray for them. You have to. It's the next walk. Then I went to facilitate Liberty. Of course, when you facilitate Liberty, you're not going to be all sorted out. I'm not all sorted out. You are not all sorted out. Maybe some of you are, I don't know. But that's not the point. God is not looking for people who are perfect and all sorted out. He's looking for someone willing. So then I facilitated. When I was in high school, I had eating disorders. At the Liberty that I attended, we addressed that. But it definitely wasn't sorted out. Definitely still had an obsession in my mind about food. My whole thinking was around food. I wasn't throwing up my food anymore. So you couldn't tell that it was still there, but the thinking hasn't changed. My behaviors changed, and there was some sense of change, but my thinking was, I was still in bondage in my mind. And I facilitated Liberty the Friday night. I have certain people that are in my group at Liberty, and guess what? They have eating disorders. And I went home the Friday night, so I prayed for them. I went home. I said to my room flatmate at the time, was a Christian, I cried. I said, I can't pray for them because I still have it in here. How must I pray for them? And she said to me, no, we trust God. And then I just, there in my room, I prayed, and I had the sense of a wall falling down. It's a picture I had. And I was delivered. That Friday night in my room with my flatmate, I was delivered from that thinking because I went and I gave what I had received. I went to a course in Stellenbosch, Tani Lientron, a woman who's very experienced in deliverance, went there a few times, learned some more about it, went to the Pretoria church when I started working. Oh, before that, my internship year, 2006, I was going to do missions to India. Well, I did do missions to India, but the week before the mission, I was staying in a house with other people who used to really watch Harry Potter a lot, and I've never watched Harry Potter, but I walked past the screen, so I've had glimpses of what's on there, And I just for a few weeks leading up to the mission, I would wake up at night with sounds in my room and the impression of something on my desk. And so I prayed, anointed, I was trying to figure out, you know, what's going on here. And the week before I went to India, I woke up in the night and I was not feeling well. I felt almost nauseous in a way. And I felt God say to me, okay, pray for yourself for deliverance. So I thought, okay, don't know what to do. This is quite weird for me and a little bit scary. And everyone's sleeping, so I can't be praying very loud right now. So I put my earphones with my worship music, and I stood in front of the mirror, and I looked in my eyes, and I said, if there's anything that's not of God, go, in Jesus' name. And I saw something in my eyes, like it was in my eyes. And so that freaked me out a little bit. And then I prayed some more, and then I felt the release, and actually, to tell you the truth, I felt like I wanted to vomit, so I went to the shower because the other people are sleeping in the house. And I turned, opened the shower, and I vomited, and then I was fine. I was doing internship at the time, so I went to Pastor Sias the day, and I said to him, I'm sorry, I can't go to India. There's something very wrong with me. And I explained this to him. He said to me, it's perfectly normal. God was just showing you. There was something there. He wanted to help you out before you go to India, because in India, spiritual atmosphere is not going to be so kind to you if you're walking around with something. And God's got it. He sorted you out. You're fine. You're going to India. And I went to India, and it was lovely. And then it's been many years since then. I was in the Pretoria church for quite a few years. And in Pretoria, the pastor asked me to see ladies for deliverance. So I said to him, I don't know what to do. He said, well, you just ask God. Okay. And of course, when I saw the people, I was very like, yes, no, we're going to pray. I'm very confident. I know exactly what I'm doing. Don't worry. but God really was faithful to show me what to pray for people. And the thing is, like, and what I want to say is, and maybe I'm actually diverting completely now, but I just want to get to the important things that God wants to say tonight. But, you know, I spoke to someone close to me once who's not, has the exact same values as we do. And I said to the person, you know, she was saying, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. I said, you know, maybe it's demonic. And she was so offended with me. She said, are you saying I have a demon? That's terrible, and I can't believe you would think this of me. And I could see there was a complete misunderstanding. And I actually said to her, yes, but I had demons. It's not, you're not this incredibly terrible person. It's not this thing that only happens to the worst people in the world who really sin a lot. And by the way, then I probably think you have a lot of sin that you're hiding. But she had a completely different idea. So I said to her, you know, it's almost like there's different ways that we get affected by the demonic. And especially all of us, who was saved when they were born, they came to Christ? Okay, no one here. So for all of us here, you had a life before you were saved. And in that life, things happen. And it's sometimes we sin. Sometimes it's nothing to do with us. Sometimes we get hurt. People get abused. People get molested. People get neglected. Maybe it's not even, none of those things even happened to me when I was young. It was things like I felt a little bit neglected. Or it's not things that someone would maybe think are massive things. But wounds and hurts, those kind of things happen. And those things open a door to the demonic to affect us. And it's as simple as sorting out the problem, the wound, the hurt, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, whatever that thing is, sorting that out, and then saying, thank you, Jesus, for your cross. You know, you have to be saved. Otherwise, you can't call on the cross of Jesus for this. And then saying, I command that thing to go in Jesus' name. It's really simple. When I spoke to this friend of mine, I said to her, you know, it's almost like having a spiritual cold. It's like the flu. I'm not saying you have AIDS. I'm saying you have the flu. And it's you know, people get the flu. Sometimes it's your fault because you were, you know, out in the rain or not sleeping enough or just eating McDonald's. But then when you have the flu, then you fix it. and, of course, in the demonic, there's always something that allows it. But like I said, sometimes it's even something that happened to you. It's not even something you did. So I think on the one hand, I want to say everything that's in the movies is completely exaggerated. Completely. I've read quite a few books now, and everyone that's experiencing deliverance that I've read, whose books I've read, people who've done more than 2,000 deliverances, almost all of them, actually all of them that I've read about, said that in less than 10 of the 2,000 that they have something like you see in a movie, like someone makes a weird whatever, or, you know, screams or flies or I don't know. The movies, the tactic is to scare us. That's the tactic of the enemy, to make us think it's so hectic and it's so difficult and it's going to be so embarrassing and it's going to be so major that we actually either tell ourselves just to stay away from it, or we just say, oh, you know, that's actually the Bible doesn't teach deliverance and actually it's not for today because it just seems so scary, but it really isn't. So the rest of my story is that about 2 months ago, I sensed that I must go for deliverance, and I went, and the lady said to me, okay, so, you know, is there something specific? Is there a specific reason why you came? And I said to her, I don't know. I felt I should come, so let's ask God. And she prayed for me, and some things came up, and the big thing that came up, I felt like, oh my goodness, I have dealt with this 20 times. but I knew, as she was saying it, that there was just a deeper thing. And up to this point in my Christian walk, I wasn't at a place to deal with it. I couldn't handle for that to come out, actually. It's just something from when I was young that I've dealt with over and over and over. But now was the time. It was the time of my visitation. It was the right time for me for God to just zap that thing. so we spoke about what happened. I again forgave people involved. Although I had forgiven them before and I had meant it, I realized there was something deeper which I haven't forgiven them for. I spoke the forgiveness, and it was, she sat across from me, she said, the spirit go in Jesus' name. Oops, I could feel it's gone. I just blinked. And she said, oh, it's gone. Oh, yeah, I can feel it's gone. And actually, the strangest thing, and I haven't even told this to Raina, but I dance, and I've danced since high school. And at high school, when I used to dance, my teacher used to say I should drink Rescue, the herbal relaxing pill, because she said my shoulders were always pulled up, like tense. She would always touch my shoulders and say, down, like, put your shoulders down. And my whole life, actually, I didn't realize, but when this lady told the thing to go and I blinked and I felt that release, my shoulders went down. And I suddenly realized, up to 2 months ago, my whole life, my shoulders were tensed. And it was that thing. It was that underlying tension from a demon that I was carrying with me because I didn't want to forgive someone completely for something that happened to me. And I could literally sense a change in my posture. Like I said, asked Kirby to drive me because I was not sleeping a lot with the kids, so I didn't trust myself to drive very far. And I said to him in the car afterwards, I feel so light. I feel something has changed. Now this isn't always the case because sometimes when we go through deliverance, we can be a bit fragile afterwards. And not just deliverance, even healing, inner healing, emotional healing. Sometimes God comes to work on our inside, and it's like an operation. It helps you, but there's a recovery time. Now, afterwards, sometimes it's even more sore than it was before, but it is actually corrected. You just need time for it to heal a little bit. Okay, so now I'm not even anywhere on my slides. So let's just see if there's something else that's important. I think if you read books about deliverance as well, people who do deliverance a lot, they make lists of what kind of spirits they are that they encounter. The Bible mentions quite a few. I've not given you a spirit of fear. Okay, so there's a demon of fear. And what does the Bible say is the answer to that, actually? Power, love, and sound mind. But there's another one. Faith. It's another one. It's a scripture. Perfect love casts out fear. Casts out fear. Because fear is a spirit. But I think for me as well, and the last while, I've been privileged to pray for quite a few people again for deliverance. And I found that actually we go into it and we just ask God to lead us and he shows what to do and we just do that. And it works perfectly because God knows. Because God knows what needs to happen. Maybe just, let me just give a few of the basics. I don't know if we all have the same background. There's one word that the Bible uses. If you go read through Mark, the Gospel of Mark, you'll see that every chapter, Jesus delivers someone from a demon. And the word that they use for someone who has a demon, I can't remember the exact Greek word, but it's translated demonization. So the one thing I just wanted to say, and that's also with the movies and those things, Christians don't get demon possessed. Okay, so when they say possessed, and what they do in the movies is they make like a demon takes over a person completely. Okay, so that the demon is there and the person is not. And I want to say that for Christians, that can never happen because you have the Holy Spirit. So you are a spirit, a soul, and a body. And a demon can inhibit your soul and your body, or attach is more the right word, attach, but never your spirit. And your spirit is who you are, and that has got the Holy Spirit. So that could never happen. It could happen to someone who's not a Christian, but that is so rare. That is so extreme. That's, you know, almost like, and even in those cases, it can never be for all the time. It would just be for short spurts of time that would happen. So what we speak about, we don't speak about demon possession. We speak about oppression. Because what does the enemy do? What does he, you know, is that, what does he do? Steal, kill, and destroy. So he comes to oppress us. Like the scripture said, God brings a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Okay, so there's actually a spirit that can make you feel heavy. And I can testify to having experienced this. I didn't plan to share this, but after even Aiden was born, which is this year, May, he was obviously not sleeping a lot, so I was not sleeping a lot. And for some time, I actually thought I had postnatal depression. I said to Reyno, I bought a book about it, actually. Reyno bought a book for me about it at Coombe. And I said to him, this is what I have. I just want to sleep. I just want to cry. I'm down. I'm not well. Like, I'm not myself. Everything they say here, that's what I have. And I even started thinking in my mind, okay, I must go to a psychologist. I must be diagnosed. What am I going to do? How do you resolve this? I spoke to someone who's used medication for it. And when I went for the deliverance, I didn't tell this to the lady. And she said to me, as she was addressing stuff, she said to me, oh, there's a spirit that's trying to copy depression on you. I was like, oh, yes, I've noticed. And I'm not saying all depression is that. I don't think it is. I don't think all depression is a spirit. I really don't. But in my case, it was. And she delivered me of it, and it's gone. What was my point? I don't know. So Christians can be oppressed, but not possessed. And deliverance is actually something that should just be a part of our lifestyle. As we disciple people, we should be able to do deliverance for them as not a big deal, you know, special room, I don't know, gets dressed special way, special music. It's not as a big deal, always, sometimes maybe yes, but as part of how we engaging with someone. You know, sometimes we pray for someone for healing and God shows there's a spirit of infirmity. So actually part of this healing needs to be deliverance. Just do it right there. Just part of the healing. I was going somewhere with that. The big thing is actually demons can only attach to something. If there's nothing there, then they can't be there. So this is wounds, hurts, unforgiveness, sometimes sin. Ephesians 4 says, be angry but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not give place to the devil. So there it says that when we're angry, and it's okay to be angry. It says, be angry but do not sin. So don't take your anger into bitterness. Don't take it into a response, lashing out at someone. Don't take your anger over into something else and keep it past the day, because then that's where we open a door. We should all be able to do self-deliverance. And I know we should, but we can't. But I believe this is the time. God is coming to show us, and we're going to walk in this, every one of us. I'm not saying there's five people here who's going to start being able to do deliverance. I'm saying all of us. Surely God calls some people to make this their main focus. Like God calls Matthew to make worship his main focus. Definitely. But all of us should be able to do it, and especially self-deliverance. Sometimes it's as simple as when we're worshiping, and worshiping is, by the way, a powerful facilitator for deliverance. That's why we worship when we do liberty. Because when we worship, we're looking at Jesus. We're looking at the cross. Although we have to get to that point where we also actually command the demon to go. That's the important part of it. But self-deliverance is sometimes as simple as, while we're worshiping in church, feel a little bit of something, command it to go. I've sometimes had it where then I feel like coughing, and I cough, and it's, then I feel better. It's just like needing to become a normal part of how we go about things. How do we know we need deliverance? I actually want to say we all do. but that's why there's liberty. We all should go to liberty. Some of us, when we attend the liberty course, after that, everything will be sorted out. Some of us, God will keep walking that road for a bit more. Typical things are, if you hear a lot of lies, you know, the whole day you hear things like, God is not good, God is not good. Even lies directed at you, you're ugly, you're fat, I'm not pretty, people don't like me. Did you know that's not your voice? Did you know that's another voice speaking to you, and you can actually get rid of that voice? Another way is sometimes if you're really struggling with something, I can't think of an example now. I guess eating disorder is a big example. It could be something smaller, like this happens to a lot of people. A lot of people struggle with things like when they look at people, they suddenly imagine what they look like naked. Do you know that a lot of people struggle with this? I bet a lot of people in this room it's happened to. And you're asking God, you're praying not for it to happen. You're not in any sin. You're not using pornography or anything. It's just a stupid thing. Every time you look at people, you imagine them naked. And as a Christian, you know that's not cool. But you just can't seem, no matter how you pray or fast, you don't seem to get past it. Do you know that picture is not from your mind, probably? and that it's something that can be, possibly a spirit can be cast out that's suggesting that to you all the time. For me, for instance, like the eating disorders I had, God definitely helped me, and a lot of all my outward behavior changed, but my thinking wasn't changed. My whole day was about food. You couldn't necessarily see it from the outside, but everything I did, I was thinking around food. You don't have to throw up your food to have a eating disorder. It's all in here. Can be all in there. So for me, that was the thing where I just needed to finally address that thing and let it go. Now, obviously, once God delivers us, we get so excited about it and we see everyone who needs deliverance. and the thing is that, how do we get deliverance? Actually, have to be desperate for it. Actually, have to want it. Someone can never be delivered if they don't want to be delivered. Because in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, you have the access. You can choose to allow something. You can choose to allow a spirit to operate through your soul. And no one can take that decision away from you, not even God. That's your choice. Only you can decide that you don't want it there anymore. So we can never force deliverance on someone. It's a choice. And it's a choice for all of us to make as we see these things. I'm not going to go through all of that. Obviously, the Bible speaks about, you know, a thought that becomes a high thing, that becomes an imagination, that becomes a stronghold. For instance, say you look at people and you always imagine them naked. That's a thought that a spirit plants in your mind. But if you entertain that and you begin fantasizing around it, then it becomes a high thing in your mind. So it grows. It becomes bigger. The hold that it has on you becomes stronger. And then when that's not enough anymore and you actually go into pornography, then you have a stronghold in your life. So it's just increasing levels of access that you give it. There's a list that the Bible speaks about, lots of things that actually in the Bible, spirit of fear, spirit of depression, affliction, also infirmity like sickness, a spirit of error, which makes you believe wrong. All the scriptures are up there. Spirit of perversion, which comes from idolatry, and that can be sex, food, TV, lots of things. A spirit of confusion, also called Leviathan, which can make you mishear all the time. This often happens in marriages and in friendships, where one person, both people, continually hear something else than what the person is saying, or they think you meant it in a different way. And there's actually a spirit that twists your words. That's what Leviathan means, it twists. Spirit of bitterness, envy, and bad mouthing. Now, the interesting thing that happened is a few weeks ago, we had a prayer meeting on a Sunday morning at the office, and we were asking God what we should pray for, and he spoke so clearly, and he showed us that actually what he wants us to do that morning is to do deliverance on the body, the church. So this was a new concept for me, but there was agreement. We were quite sure about what God is saying, and I'm speaking about us as a church, and we asked God what it's about, and he just confirmed it so clearly. He said that there's a spirit of envy, and maybe some of you can relate with this. Maybe it's been operating in your life as well, where we're jealous of each other, jealous of, you know, that one's marriage, that one's wife, that one's kids, that one's job, this one's money, that one is this holiday, why can't I have that kind of holiday? This one is so good at his studies, why am I not that good at my studies? Spiritual jealousy. This one is a leader, why am I not a leader? That one hears the voice of God, she always gets a tongue, she always gets a song, that one is always chosen to be the small group leader, that one is always good at praying, all those kind of thoughts. And God showed us that we must actually, those of us who were there, we must stand together as representing the church and asking for deliverance, which we did. And which we believe he did. And the most amazing thing for me was afterwards, I had a few conversations with people in church who were not at the meeting. And we haven't, at that meeting, we felt God showing us not to speak about it. So those of us who were there, we haven't shared this with others. And I had a few people speak to me saying that they've recognized this in their life, but that they are now getting out of it. In other words, seeing the fruit of something that God has done. And what's amazing, actually, if you go look at Revelations 2, it speaks about spirits which come for a whole church, the seven churches in Revelations. Okay, so you can also get this from SD, you can go read it up, but it speaks about a spirit of religion, a spirit of intimidation, compromise, control, legalism, traditionalism, inferiority, and pride. So it can happen that there are spirits who take over a whole church. And sometimes when you look at that, you can believe it and you can think that you've actually seen it, where a spirit like that operates over a whole church body. But that is why we know Jesus, and he is the deliverer. And I felt for tonight, and that's what we're going to do just now. I just want to continue that prayer that we had that Sunday morning, where God was coming to deliver us as a church from envy. I'm going to read a few scriptures around that, and I just believe God wants to just move it out to all of us, continue that deliverance. So that's what we're going to do just now. The thing about that is, God actually created all of us to bless each other, to our face and behind our back. To bless each other in what we say to someone, but also bless each other in what we say about someone. And you know, the scripture says, power of life and death is in the tongue. And do you know this has happened actually to myself and Reno? Do you know, as Christians, you have authority in your words? Your words carry weight in the spirit because you are a Christian. So this is the way God works. When you get saved, he gives you gifts, and he says the gifts are irrevocable. So do you know people who really operate in spiritual gifts, if they fall away from God, they backslide? In other words, they are not Christians anymore. They've rejected the faith. Do you know that they can still operate in their gifts? There are people who've fallen away from God who can still practice healing, still get prophetic words. We're not sure, you know, that might be influenced by other spirits other than the Holy Spirit. But God says in his word, the gifts are irrevocable. So by the way, you can never judge a person's character by their gifting. You judge a person by their character, by their love, their patience, the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts. Because that is not really, I mean, that doesn't really say much about your maturity or not. What was I saying with that? You're supposed to bless each other. So your words carry authority if you're a Christian. So you can speak something over another Christian. It's not the will of God, and it can spiritually affect them. You know, when I was in school, we were a group of friends, and you know what it's like in high school? Everyone used to pick on the one girl. And they always used to say, she's so irritating. And I said to one of my other friends one day, I said to her, you know, I think she's irritating because we all say she is. Even in high school, when I wasn't connected to God, I understood that. I saw it. I remember seeing it. I understood that if we stopped saying it, it would stop being like that. She would stop being like that. It's as if us saying made it happen. And as a Christian specifically, your words carry authority and power. So the things that you say, you can actually cause it to happen to people. And that's God meant for us to bless each other in what we say. Because as we speak blessing and life over each other, if I say to Raina, wow, Danielle's really growing, actually the fact that I'm saying that enables, it accelerates her growth because my words spoke it over her. And of course, you know, if we're concerned for people, I'm not saying we can never say, I'm concerned about that one, what's going on in his life, from a good place. But that's always the thing, where is it coming from? And there's definitely a place where if there's a spirit of jealousy in our hearts, if you're saying this person, Peter, saying, if I say to Reno, you know, actually, I'm jealous of Peter for some reason. Maybe, I don't know what, some reason I'm jealous of him. And I say to Reina, you know, Peter really has a lot of pride. I'm really cursing him because in my heart, I'm not concerned about him. I'm not saying it to Reina because we're going to pray and trust God for it and because I love him. I'm saying it because I'm jealous of him and I'm wanting him to make it, put him down. That's what my heart is. But as a Christian, my words have authority and power. So I've just spoken that over him. Now, for him, you know, for all of us, if anyone should curse us, if there's nothing for it to latch onto, it could possibly not affect us at all. But who knows where he's at in his life? You know, maybe he's still dealing with something which just has that open door, and then I'm actually cursing him. So if there's a spirit of envy or jealousy between us, not only are we withholding blessing, but we're also cursing. So it's a double whammy. And this happens between us, where God said they should know you by the love that you have for each other. You know, it's enough in the world out there. There's enough for us there's a big enough war for us to fight for the kingdom. We shouldn't be warring inside. Inside is where we operate in love. And this is the thing that I've felt the whole time this week. It's the love of God. It's the love of Christ that delivers us. And it's the love of Christ that he wants to give to each one of us for each other, so that they can say that they will know you by the love that you have for one another. This spirit of jealousy can be clearly seen with Cain and Abel. So God accepted the one offering. He didn't accepted Abel's offering, didn't accept Cain's offering. Cain allowed a spirit of jealousy, and eventually killed Abel. It leads to death. Okay, let me just read the scriptures around that. Isaiah 58 says, if you take the yoke away from among you, the pointing of the finger and speaking vanity, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Genesis 4 speaks about Cain and Abel, and God says to him, if you do not do well, says to Cain, because he's allowing the spirit of jealousy, sin crouches at the door and its desires for you, but you must rule over it. So he's saying that, you know, allowing these feelings, entertaining it, you're opening a door for a spirit, but actually you should be ruling over that spirit. You have the authority to actually rule over it. Don't let it rule over you. James 4, do not speak against one another, brothers. He who speaks against his brother and who judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? James 3, if you have bitter jealousy and strife in your hearts, do not glory and lie against the truth. This is not wisdom coming from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and strife are, there is confusion and every evil thing. So I think, what I feel God is saying is, and this is what we'll pray now, this is a work that he has already started, and this is something that he does. God does it. Jesus does it. We just yield to him, and we choose it. And I'm going to lead us in prayer, because I believe this is something he is doing in us as a church already. This is just taking it a step further. But the good news that I believe God is also bringing tonight is that he's wanting to say to each one of us, this is a time for freedom. So I'm declaring over you, this is a time for freedom. In your life, that which you've struggled with, this is a time for freedom. Okay, the lies that you've believed, the lies that we've believed, that we've walked in, this is a time for freedom. Tonight we're coming, we're drawing a line, we say, no more. This is it. And for us to maintain this, you know, the Bible says demon is cast out of someone, he goes away, he's restless, and he goes and look for the person that he was cast out of, and he finds that person, and he sees that their life is in order, and he brings seven of his friends, and they all go back, and that person is much worse off. And the thing is, what that is telling us is that to be free is something that needs to be maintained. So when we're free, then we need to be full of the Holy Spirit to take up that space. There's no space for the enemy. And then it's as simple as not allowing those things which cause a demon to latch. Unforgiveness, bitterness, hurts, wounds. Of course, we cannot control getting hurt. But how do we respond when you get hurt? How quickly do you resolve it? How quickly do you go to Jesus to heal you, to make sure? How quickly do you go to that person and forgive them? Because leaving it is what makes a place for that thing to just hook a little bit. I want to say to us tonight that I really believe there's a lot of us who have things from before we were saved that's still coming along for the ride. And I believe Jesus is saying, freedom. This is it, freedom, now. This is what he paid for. Don't be on that cruise ship, and when you get to the other side, realize the restaurant was included. We're going to pray now, and we're just going to trust the Holy Spirit to move, so the band can come down, please. But I also want to say, you know, after tonight, if you recognize a need in yourself for deliverance, I want you to commit to liberty. And, of course, how this works is when I make an appointment to go for deliverance, the morning of the appointment, the night before, I sleep really badly. I feel sick. I don't feel like going. I suddenly remember what else I'm supposed to do. I suddenly argue, it's not really necessary. Why was I thinking of doing this? Do you know what that is? Do you know that that's not my voice? Do you know that that's not my thoughts? So what I'm saying tonight is, when we don't have the exact date for you now, but it's going to be in February, and you must get that date from Esty. You must keep on asking her until she gives you that date. Sorry, Esty. But when you get that date, you move heaven and earth to go to liberty. And I felt like saying this tonight, but you know that I've missed a wedding once for something that I felt God wanted me to go to. You know, in our minds, it's like, you can't miss a wedding. No, if someone invited you to a wedding, you can't miss a wedding. No, why can't you miss a wedding? If you have an appointment with Jesus, you miss the wedding. You miss the funeral. You know, it's that scripture about the feast. And the one said, I've got to marry someone. The other one said, I've got to bury my father. The other one said, I've got business to take care of. You find the date for liberty in February, and you book that date, and you move whatever you have to move to be there. And then the next liberty you facilitate, and the next one. If you have done liberty, and you feel that your road is not done, then I want to say we can sit with you for individual deliverance. But then also after that, you must do it for someone else. freely received, freely give. I haven't checked it with Lisa, but I'm sure she won't mind. If you have done liberty and you feel your road is not done, give your name to Lisa. We're all going to help you. If you haven't done liberty, but you're feeling maybe it's not going to be enough, give your name to Lisa. We'll wait until you've done liberty, and then we will still meet up with you. Because I really believe it's a time of visitation. It's now. God wants to move now. And he just wants us to be in that full freedom. I think the main thing God wants for us is to experience his love. You know, when I, 2 months ago when I went, the lady at the end, she said to me, you know, just close your eyes, what is Jesus showing you? And he was showing me like a tea table, like high tea. And he was just sitting there, and he had a teapot, and it was like this big. I said to her, I don't know if this is my imagination, but I see a high tea and Jesus and a massive teapot. And I said to her, I don't know what that means. It's a little bit strange. And she said to me, what? I think Jesus wants to have tea with you a lot. And, you know, that's the heart of Jesus, is to love us. The heart of Jesus is that nothing comes between his love for us, that nothing comes between the heart connection of us to God. How often do we suspect God of not being good? Who's had that? Who suspected God of not being good? Something happened and you think, God, how can you do that? There's things speaking to us. It's not your thoughts always, sometimes, but not always, and it's not God. And we have authority over those things. We can walk free of it, and this is the time for it. You know, I'm not gonna ask, actually, that you put up your hand. But I think if I said, how many of you have cast a demon out of yourself? I don't think many people's hands would go up. If I said, how many of you have cast a demon out of someone else? I don't think many hands would go up. But if I ask this in March, I want all of us to put our hands up. I want all of us to say, I've cast a demon out of myself. I've cast a demon out of someone else. It's just part of my life now. Normal for me. And I'll also ask if you try to raise the dead. but let's stand. Stefan, that last song that we sang, what's it, Christ Alone? You can sing that one. But before we sing, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And I lead the prayer, but you do your business with God and with Jesus. You know, not all of us standing right now at the same place. In fact, we're all in a different space. Probably we're all on a journey with God. Some of us are starting. Some of us have been on it for a while. Some of us are very healed. Some of us need a lot of healing. We're all in a different place. But Jesus is here, and I don't know where you're at, but Jesus knows. So I'm just going to pray, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, you connect with God. If you feel like carrying on your conversation with him, I'm not going to be offended. You deal with what you need to deal with. But I am going to lead us first just in a prayer for us as a body. And we're just going to agree for that deliverance. So Jesus, we thank you that you're the deliverer. And we look to you tonight. And we thank you that even as we started tonight, you were already here. And you're already stirring our hearts and preparing our hearts for this moment, Lord. And we declare just this Kairos time, Lord, that you've set out, this time of our visitation. We thank you for tonight. And we thank you that you are so eager to meet with us. Thank you, Father, for each person that is here. Maybe many of them, especially tonight, had thoughts of not coming. Because there's just so many spirits out there who doesn't want us to be free. But I thank you for each one who is here, who've pressed past the thoughts and pressed past everything else. God, because you are here, and this is our time of visitation. And we say, Lord, that in this time, we just want to have what you have for us. We want to go to that restaurant. We don't want to do the trip and then realize we ate crackers for nothing. God, we just thank you for your cross, Lord. And tonight, we don't want to waste your cross, Lord. We don't want to look down on it and not take everything that you paid for. God, we say tonight, Jesus, you paid the highest price. Everything you paid, Lord. And tonight, Father, we want to walk in every freedom that you've bought for us. And we thank you for us as a church. We thank you for Shofar Ronobash. We love our church, Lord. And we love this body that you've put us in. And I know I feel so privileged to be in this church and in this town. And at this time, Lord, I feel so spoiled that you've put me with these people and in this place. This is your love for us, God, this family. I feel so spoiled to be in this family. And we thank you tonight just for this journey that you're taking us as a church, that you are faithful, Holy Spirit, to show us every next step, every next step. And as you're showing us this step tonight, we want to fully step into it. So as a church, we agree now that we resist a spirit of envy. We resist a spirit of jealousy. We repent, and if God shows you any way that you've been part of this, just repent out loud to Him. Don't worry now about the person next to you. God, we repent, Lord, of specific things. If God shows you you were jealous of that person, and say, Lord, I repent of being jealous of Peter or whatever. We repent, God, of being jealous. We repent of allowing envy. We repent, God, of cursing. We repent of speaking idly. We repent of pointing the finger at each other. Father, we repent of desiring things that the other one has, Lord. We just repent, God, everything that you're showing us now, how we've participated. We repent of that, Lord, and we just do away with it now. And we ask your forgiveness. We say, Lord, forgive us as a church for not loving one another. God, we repent of every act of lovelessness. Every time when we've said something loveless. Father, we repent if we've said stuff behind each other's back. We repent, Lord, and we ask Jesus to forgive us. So we take authority now, and myself and Rena want to come and on behalf of us, leaders of the church, we take authority over that spirit of envy and jealousy. And we say now, your time is done. And by the blood and the cross of Jesus, we command you to leave our midst now in Jesus' name. We just draw a line. We say, go. Go in Jesus' name. Everywhere that you've hooked into our hearts and into our souls, we cut it off. We say, go now, in Jesus' name. We command you to go and leave this body in Jesus' name. We command you to go. We command you to go. Every spirit that you've brought with you, we command you to go right now in Jesus' name. We declare freedom. Now, we command you to go in Jesus' name. We declare freedom as a body, Lord. We thank you for your freedom now. And we declare that we're going to be a body that loves. We declare that we are a body who loves. And we thank you, Jesus, for your love. And I pray now for each person who has a block to your love. And I pray, Father, that you crumble those things in Jesus' name. Crumble every wall that stands between people's hearts and your heart in this church, Lord. And I pray that each person standing here would experience your love, that they would know it, that they would be connected to your heart, that they would be in that connected place with you in Jesus' name. And we declare as a church, we're going to be known for love. God, as individuals, we choose it now. We say we choose to love. Just if you agree with that, just say to Jesus, we choose to love. We choose to love. We choose to be in your love. and we choose to give your love unconditionally. And we say, Jesus, help us. Holy Spirit, help us in this walk. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who does this work. So we're looking to you, Father, and we thank you that you're faithful to finish that which you have started. Now we're going to sing a song, and I believe for some of us, God wants to do deliverance even right now. Okay, so it's this simple. God is going to show you a hurt, and you say, Jesus, heal it. And you let him heal it. You let him put his hand in there. God shows you unforgiveness. You said you choose to forgive that person. You say, Jesus, I forgive that person. God shows you bitterness. You say, Lord, I let go of that bitterness. Whatever God shows you, he's going to show you where's the hook. Whatever God shows you, you go through those things. You say, I forgive that person. Or, Lord, heal that wound. Just as we worship now, you're going to do this by yourself. And then when done through that, you say, Lord, actually, it's not even necessary that God shows you what it is. You just say, any spirit that is not of God, that's hooking onto my life, go right now in Jesus' name. You can't say, Jesus, please remove every spirit that's not of you. Because actually you have the authority, so you actually have to say it to the spirit. Okay, so you go through the forgiveness, healing, God will show you what. And then you say, every spirit that's not of God, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. And if you're going through this process and you feel that God is really doing something but you need some help, then please come forward. And Lisa, Esti, Kobe, and Danielle, I'm not sure anyone who's at all done deliverance, please come forward and then just pray with the people who just feel like they need a little bit of help in the process. So we're going to worship a song and you go for it as God leads you.